The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Miss a segment? Want to share a segment with a friend? Go to SundayMorningNewsmakers.com to catch the podcast. Plus, hear our past shows. That's SundayMorningNewsmakers.com.
Joe E. Collins III is a proud father and son. Born in South Central Los Angeles, Joe spent much of his childhood growing up in church. However, there was no escaping the gang violence and crime that surrounded the inner cities of South L.A. Unemployment high, poverty high, being forced into a gang was high, and the chances of being convicted of a crime or killing by the age of 21, extremely high. At the age of 13, his mom made the decision to move Joe and his siblings to Texas. She saw what was happening in her L.A. neighborhood without any help or change in local government. Let's cut to today and meet Joe Collins, who is a candidate for Congress running against Maxine Waters. Joe, good to talk with you.
Good morning. Good to talk to you, too. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to have you on the program. We all know Maxine Waters, the famous Impeach 45 line. It seems like anytime you see a story about her, it's something like this.
He's not working in the best interest of the American people. His motives and his actions are contemptible, and I will fight every day until he is impeached.
That's the kind of story you find that one posted there on CNN. But, you know, it's pretty much her signature campaign, Impeach 45, but not a lot else gets done. Walk us into talk about your interest in running. So you grew up, but then you left. You've come back.
It was tough growing up in South Central L.A. It wasn't that much jobs. You know, the city was already ran down. The gang violence was really, really high. And my mom wanted to give me and my sisters an opportunity to, you know, have a good life. And so she moved us to Texas. I was 13. I had just gotten high school and, you know, graduated from high school in 2003. I joined the Navy in 2004. And I was inspired by, you know, Donald Trump to run for office. And I'm like, wow, if he can do it, anybody can do it. And it's like, you know, you see a problem, you fix a problem. In the military, they tell us, you know, you don't complain about a problem unless you have a solution. And so moving back to L.A., the problem was obvious. Nobody was taking care of the people. Nobody was taking care of the state, meaning the city. And, it, you know, it has to change. And so I'm going to fix that problem.
So here you look at going after Maxine Waters' district here. Do you think she's vulnerable? I mean, she's been around a long time. She kind of has this base that seems to elect her. You know, others have run against her, and it just doesn't seem to move the bar. What do you think is different this time?
Well, the people of the district, they're going to vote for somebody who they can identify with, and I'm that guy. You know, born and raised in South Central, U.S. Navy veteran. I'm black, of course, and I'm a Republican. I'm a walkaway from a Democratic Party by way of the military. And so I'm the guy that they can identify with. I'm the guy who can make the change, you know, and I can speak to people, to the language of the people.
I know President Trump talks about the economy and the improvements, things that have lifted up communities of color with the rates of employment hasn't been better. What about that? I mean, do people in South Central, South Los Angeles, as it's been renamed, do they hear that? Do they know that? Do they see the numbers? Has prosperity come there yet?
You know what? In some places it has. I'm not going to lie, it has. But in the district, no, not at all. Everybody, because you hear so much rhetoric about, you know, the president is racist or he doesn't care about black people or this, that, and the other. And so they don't pay attention to the economic growth. And even if they did, nobody teaches people, you know, from the inner cities on how to invest in the economy. And that's a problem. And so where the rest of the United States is experiencing having, you know, benefiting from having a strong economy, you know, people from inner cities and the majority of people, unfortunately, in South LA are not experiencing that. And then, you know, everybody talks about, well, this is for the rich, this is for the rich, which implicates that the majority of the people are poor and they don't deserve the same benefits. And so what we have to do is we have to shift that mindset from this belongs to the rich to how can I put myself in a position to benefit from that in the future, although I didn't benefit from it now. And so that's what we need to open up our eyes to from the district and from South LA.
I want to talk about something you mentioned earlier, that how some try to paint the president as racist. As you know, this week there were the presidential tweets over the weekend, and now Republican leaders are defending the president's attack on four minority Democrats. Speaking at the Capitol this week, the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, from here in California, said the president's tweets and comments were not racist. Here's what he says.
I do not believe that. I believe this is about ideology. This is about socialism versus freedom.
And anyone watching the story, he calls it all politics. It all erupted when Trump tweeted that the four women, the Democrat team there, should go back to their countries. And the four freshman Dems are American citizens. Trump later said the women hate the U.S. and just should leave if they're so unhappy. Kevin McCarthy argued that the controversy is about the ongoing ideological dispute of the four freshmen, not their race.
This is more from their basis about politics. And it's unfortunate. We should get back to the business of America.
All right, your take on this. Who's right, who's wrong?
You know what? I can't say who's right and who's wrong. But from my point of view, I don't think anything that the president said was racist. And here's the thing: the funny part about that is everybody is like, if President Trump gets elected, then I'm moving out the country. And you know, he was right. If you don't like it, go away. You know, it's just like somebody coming into your house and telling you this is how you're supposed to do things, and they don't like it. Like, no, this is my house. If you don't like it, get out. You know. So I mean, I agree with what he said, regardless of who feels it was right or wrong. And so for the four freshmen, you know, they want to be a victim on every single front, you know, and they want to be a victim and they need something to rally about, because even if you go back to where they're legislating that, it's trash. You know, AOC pushed out Amazon. That could have brought, you know, tens of thousands of jobs to her city, and the other freshman Democrats aren't doing much for their city besides trying to be the first woman to do something grand in history. Like, getting elected in the office is not about trying to be the first woman or the first Muslim or the first, you know, Hispanic, Jewish woman or whatever you want to call it. It's about bringing value to the city, bringing value to your district, taking care of your people, rebuilding.
Has the president done more for the black community than previous presidents?
Of course, of course. He just, you know, signed into the legislation, the opportunity zones, to make it so we can start rebuilding in the inner cities, which unfortunately is where the majority of the people of color live. Jobs are at a, you know, all-time high for people of color. So, yeah, and he hasn't signed any legislation that, you know, stopped us from being able to progress, especially if you're a small business owner and you're a person of color. He's made it very, very easy for you to secure funding, and it just, I think, in my opinion, that he's doing a great job for us, more than what any other president has.
Now to Representative Maxine Waters and her impeach 45, as she likes to chant. What do you think about that?
I think that's the only thing that she has around. She's playing off the hate, and she's playing off what the media says about President Trump. And so, yes, impeach 45 is the only stance that she can run on, because our district is in shambles right now.
And what has she done or not done for it? What are some of the local issues that need attention that a Representative Maxine Waters could have spent more time doing that would have helped, rather than just saying the impeach 45 rhetoric?
She could have been helping with the homeless population that we have. It's been going on since before 2008. And the only thing that she did was came down here a couple weeks ago in Inglewood and spoke about how she could put a bill in to get funding to help the homeless. Like, you should have been there. That she put up two buildings for herself, but as far as job creation, helping fix in our city, taking care of the constituents, is non-existent. So what could she have done better? Everything.
Yeah, she is pushing a piece of legislation to bring some money out of Washington on the homeless issue. We know the homeless issue in downtown Los Angeles. How is it in South Los Angeles?
It's the same. It's terrible. It spreads, you know. Housing, the cost of living is going up. Cost of housing is going up. And then we're getting taxed on top of tax on top of taxes. And nobody's addressing these issues. See, the problem with California is we have a supermajority of Democrats in House. And so anytime they want to get a bill passed, they just push it right through. Like, take for instance, they just you know, passed a bill to give $5 billion in medical aid and to illegal immigrants when we have homeless people on the streets. And part of those homeless people include veterans and people of color. We should be really, really outraged about that. I think that's one thing that Maxine Waters should have been talking about. How do you pass a bill to give medical care for illegal, not legal immigrants, illegal immigrants, when we have homeless veterans on the street, we have homeless people of color, we have homeless Americans who need that money, who need that help?
Yeah, $100 million set aside in the budget, and that will be a recurring expense obligated to Californians for those. Let's see, California's new budget also includes $5 million for funding for animal care and pet needs for the state's homeless population. Guess we got to help them, but we should never have gotten to this place.
We shouldn't have.
But we're here.
We should.
And you blame Democrats. And Maxine?
Yeah, definitely. You have to, because these are the people who are leading this state, and they're leading it straight downhill. We need more young conservatives rising up and taking charge and getting into office so we can make things better, so we can make things right.
I want to ask you about others who've given it a try and maybe trying again. I always see Omar Navarro gives it a try to run. He has done it a couple times, raised some more money, but hasn't cracked the bar to win. What do you think about Omar?
You know what? I don't have a real opinion on Omar. I don't really like to talk about, you know, competition, because I don't feel like there is none. What I feel like is the most important thing is that we focus on what we're going to do to change office, to change our city once I get into office. Omar is a non-factor to me, unfortunately.
Okay. Got 1 minute left. Top things you would do. Top priorities. What would you do if you win?
When I win, the first thing I'm going to do, and this is my forward action plan, is work with developers to rebuild the infrastructure of the city to support the expansion of businesses and housing, rebuild the relationship between the law enforcement and the community, bring quality paying jobs back so people can have more money and benefit from having a strong economy and more jobs in our district. We have to overhaul our education program. We have to ensure that our students are getting quality education, and we have to start having classes to where we can teach people in the district how to invest in our economy and benefit from having a booming economy.
Wow. All that. You got it in. Joe Collins for Congress.com. Joe Collins for Congress.com. Joe Collins, thank you so much. We'll have you back, okay?
AM 870, The Answer. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.